Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.' Now, I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Remembrance Sunday. It is an important day. It's a date which is firmly embedded in our national calendar. I've got a picture to show, actually. I think, there you go, where's that? Anyone at primary school know where that is? Where it is? Which city it might be? No? Oh, yes, it's London. It's London. Thank you. Thank you, Donna. Yes, it's London. Whereabouts in London? Anyone? Whereabouts in London? Whitehall. Whitehall. And what's that? The cenotaph. That's the cenotaph. And this morning, probably right now actually, the Queen, along with other members of the royal family and political leaders, and the chiefs of our armed forces, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, they will lead the nation in an act of remembrance there at the cenotaph at Whitehall. The cenotaph, as you look at it, is a symbol of death. It's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of death because it's a tomb. The word cenotaph is taken from the Greek words, I think we've got a slide, kenos, taphos. So you can see where we can get the word cenotaph from there, can't you? Kenos, taphos. Kenos means empty. Taphos means tomb. Kenos, taphos. Empty tomb. And the tomb in Whitehall is empty because the graves of those it calls us to remember lie elsewhere. They lie in cemeteries and graveyards elsewhere in the world. And there's a picture of a military cemetery in Belgium, a First World War military cemetery. Row after row after row of graves of the fallen. Inscribed on the side of the cenotaph are three simple words. There they are. The glorious dead. The glorious dead. Simple words which remind us, a reminder to us all, especially those who are too young to remember or to have endured the horror of a world war. Three words that remind us that our freedom has come at a tremendous cost. It's very sobering to reflect that of the 6 million men who served our nation, the British Army, in the First World War, nearly 1 million were killed. 1 million were killed, and over 2 million were injured. So that's a casualty rate of 50% and over, isn't it? It's a massive, massive casualty rate. And Remembrance Day is a time when we remember all those who've died in the service of our country in the two world wars, but not just that, in the conflicts ever since then too. Right up until recent conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And maybe there's someone here this morning who is remembering in a very personal way, a loved one who was killed in active service. I know a few people here whose family members were killed in one of the two world wars. So the cenotaph is a symbol of death. Let's go back to the cenotaph. A symbol of death. Death is terrible. It's a terrible, sad reality in our world. It's got an awful finality about it. It cuts us off from our loved ones. It causes fear, causes uncertainty. The Bible calls it our enemy. So why do we die? It's an important question to ask. Why is there death in the world? Why is there pain and hurt in the world? Why is there all this conflict in the world? Why do we die? Well, it wasn't always here, death. When God made the world, it was absolutely perfect. We read that in the very first chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2. The people that God made were perfect, Adam and Eve. They lived together in perfect harmony with God and with one another in this beautiful paradise, a beautiful garden paradise. Their hearts were filled with happiness. Their hearts were filled with joy all the time. Nothing ever made them sad. Nothing ever, ever, ever made them afraid. It was perfect for a while. Now, God had given Adam and Eve just one rule, only one. Don't eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of that, you will surely die. If you eat that fruit, then death will come. Sadness will come. Tears will come. Well, God's great enemy, Satan, a rebellious angel, we're told in the Bible, disguised as a serpent, slithered up to Eve. And he said, does God really love you? Does God really care for you? If he does, why won't he let you eat that lovely fruit? Maybe God doesn't want you to be happy. Just trust me. You don't need God. Just one small taste of that fruit, that's all. And you'll be happier than you could ever dream. You'll be like God. And you won't die. And it was a lie. And Adam and Eve believed the lie. And they ate the fruit. And everything changed. And Adam and Eve, who used to love to hear God's voice, and who used to love to be with him, ran away from him. So when God called to them, they hid. Terrible pain came into God's heart. The people that he'd made, his children, had broken the one rule. But they hadn't just broken a rule, they'd broken their relationship with God. They'd broken that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship that he created them for. And now, because of that, everything else would break. God's creation would start to unravel and come undone and go wrong. From now on, everything would die, even though it was all supposed to last forever. And because God is pure goodness, he was angry. And because God is just, he cursed the snake, the devilish snake, Satan, and he punished Adam and Eve. Because they disobeyed him as king and rejected him and his rule, God sent them out of the garden. He sent them out of his presence. And everything that God had warned about them, about disobeying his word, came absolutely true. If you reject me, you will surely die. Sin had come into God's perfect world. Sin had wrecked people's lives, wrecked their relationship with God and their relationship with each other. And life away from God, and we read this in the early chapters of the Bible, was absolutely terrible. Adam and Eve began having difficulty with one another. Their relationship wasn't perfect anymore. They started falling out, started fighting, and they died. And that's the way it's been ever since. And the cenotaph is a symbol of death. It stands as a reminder of what life in our world is like. It speaks of the failure of people in this world to live in harmony and peace with one another. It speaks of the horror and the destruction of war. It speaks of separation from loved ones. And it reminds us all of a world gone wrong because we've gone against God. We're all born away from God. We all sin against God. We've said that already today. We're all part of the problem. We all doubt God's good word. We all think we know better than God. We're all under God's anger. And therefore, we all die. And left at that, we have no hope. Left at that, we have no hope. But God hasn't left it at that. Which is the good news that we gather to celebrate every single Sunday, isn't it? That God hasn't left it at that. God always had a plan, and his plan was always to get his people back. His plan was always to make the world their perfect home again, to wipe away every tear from their eyes, to undo all the sadness, to restore his broken world. And so before they left the garden, God gave them a promise. He said, I'll come and rescue you. Won't always be like this. I'm going to defeat Satan. And I'll get rid of the sin that keeps us apart. And I'll get rid of the sadness that you've created, that you've caused. I will come and I will rescue you. And he did. He did. And so, there is another cenotaph. Thank you, Dave. Another cenotaph. A cenotaph that is a symbol not of death, but a symbol of life. A cenotaph not in London, but in Jerusalem. Jesus' burial place is a kenos taphos, a cenotaph, an empty tomb. And it's empty for a very different reason that the cenotaph in Whitehall is empty. This tomb is empty because Jesus' remains do not lie elsewhere, but because he has risen. That's why it's empty. He's risen from the dead, and that's the glorious truth that we read of earlier. Remember, Jesus' friends were very sad. Jesus was dead. He'd been cruelly killed on a cross. That was on the Friday. On the Sunday morning, bright and early, Mary and Mary, they go to the tomb to wash Jesus' body. When they get there, they have this huge surprise. This angel comes and tosses the stone aside. And they find the tomb wide open. And not only that, that tomb was empty. Well, here's a picture of what it might have looked like inside when they went in. The grave clothes folded where the body had once been. It was empty. Jesus' body had gone. But not only that, someone was there. This angel was there, this man with clothes that shone like lightning. And he said these words. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What are you doing here? This is a tomb. And tombs are for dead people. And Jesus isn't dead. He isn't dead anymore. He has risen. He has risen. Three simple words. Three very different words at this cenotaph. He is not the glorious dead. He is the glorious alive. And they saw him. And they fell down. And they held his feet. And they worshipped him. They worshipped him. That's what you do to God. And that's what the resurrection tells us about Jesus, who he is. They worshipped him because he's God. The cenotaph of Jesus tells us this wonderful truth, that we don't have to be afraid. That's the message from this tomb, isn't it? He's risen, therefore don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Three reasons why we shouldn't be afraid. Don't be afraid because Jesus is the rescuing ruler that God had promised from the very start. And he's ruling the world today. Later on in that chapter, Matthew 28, Jesus tells his disciples the significance of the resurrection when he says this. He says, verse 18 of Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Absolute power has been given to Jesus. He is ruling the world today. And that is good news and a reason why we shouldn't be afraid. Who is on the throne of the universe, controlling everything, bringing everything towards his good and perfect purpose? Jesus, pure goodness. Pure goodness has absolute power. Good news. Don't be afraid as you look out on the world and all the scary things that seem to happen and are happening. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about what's happened in America this week. Don't be afraid about what's happening in Syria and Iraq. Be concerned, but don't be afraid. The king is on the throne. The throne of the universe is occupied by Jesus. Pure goodness has absolute power. And the second reason we shouldn't be afraid is because the empty tomb tells us that his rescue was successful. The cross worked. It was always God's plan that Jesus would come and die and save the world by dying. And as Jesus hung on the cross, that full force of God's anger, his just anger against human sin came down. and it came down on God the Son instead of us. God himself took the punishment. It was the only way that he could destroy sin and not destroy people whose hearts are sinful. God's master plan to rescue us. God's loving plan to rescue us. So God the Son paid the just penalty for sin. He was separated from God on the cross. He endured God-forsakenness. He endured hell in our place. The ultimate sacrifice. We talk about that in terms of people laying down their lives for others, but here is the ultimate sacrifice. Here is the man who endured not just death, but hell for those that he loves. And the resurrection tells us that God the Father accepted the sacrifice. He accepted it as the full payment and the just payment for our sin. So as he died, Jesus won the victory. He defeated Satan and he dealt with the sin that keeps us apart from God. And that means that we don't have to live apart from God anymore. And if we turn from our sin and if we put our trust in Jesus, the crucified one and now the risen one, we will be forgiven. And we will have life with him now. And we'll have life with him forever. Eternal life. So we needn't be afraid. We needn't be afraid because he has taken the sting out of death. And the sting of death is sin. And he has dealt with sin on the cross. He's paid the penalty. And therefore, those who trust in him needn't fear death anymore. And we needn't fear what lies beyond death, which is the judgment to come. Do not be afraid. He is risen. And that brings us to our third and final point. We don't need to be afraid because God's new world is coming. It's not always going to be like this. It's going to get better. It's going to be perfect. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee that one day God will make everything new. Everything's going to be perfect again. Never ever again to be spoilt. And Jesus being raised from death is the start of it. God's restoration of this broken world has begun. It's going on now. And restoration can be messy and painful if you've ever restored a broken down house. But the restoration is going on now, and history is heading to the day when Jesus returns, the end of this age. There is an end. It's not going round and round in circles. It's going to a point when Jesus returns. And on that day, do you know what's going to happen on that day? Every tomb will empty. Every single tomb in the whole wide world is going to be empty. Because every single person who's ever lived is going to be raised to stand before the judge. To stand before Judge Jesus. And those who refused his rescue and his rule in this life will be raised to be condemned. And those who accepted his rescue and his rule in this life are going to be raised to be with him. And to be like him, with resurrected bodies just like his, no longer able to sin, no longer able to die, fit for the new creation. And on that day, all wickedness and all evil will be destroyed. Everything that's bad about this world will be dealt with. And Jesus' new creation will begin. Joy, joy, joy. It's going to be a very different place to this world. A place where there is no more death, or crying, or pain. What a place. What a place. No more Remembrance Day services. So we're not going to be doing this every year, forever and ever. One day it'll be over. No remembrance services because there won't be any wars. There won't be any selfishness. There won't be any oppression. There won't be any violence. No killing. No dead people to remember because there won't be any death. Wouldn't it be great to live in a world like that? Well, the empty tomb of Jesus, the cenotaph of Jesus, says we can. And if our trust is in him, we will. We will. So don't be afraid. And until that day, as we wait for that day, he hasn't left us alone, but he's with us always. He's with us today, every second of every day. I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's his promise. That's the promise that Matthew's gospel ends with. I'm not flying off to heaven and leaving you on your own. I'm with you. In the sadness, in the pain, as I lead you to this perfect place. Don't be afraid. I'm with you always. The risen Jesus is with us. He's with us today. Don't be afraid. So, two cenotaphs. One, the symbol of death, the cenotaph at Whitehall in London, where lots of people's focus is going to be today, and rightly so. It's a reminder of the broken world in which we live. But there isn't any hope there. And then another cenotaph, the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, the symbol of life, evidence that God's good plan to rescue the world is on track and is in no doubt whatsoever. And that's where I want to encourage us to put our focus and our trust in Jesus, so that we can have hope, endless hope, and we needn't be afraid. Amen.